Hey, what you doing, Josephine?
Yeah.
Well, Mark, are you going to be first? Hey, do you want to talk first?
He already has.
He has,
he helped me set up the mic.
Yeah, me and him talked on the windows.
Oh, what did you say?
Hi.
Hi. Okay. We'll wait for Daryl, shall we, Daddy? Some people in the hallway. Do you want to see if they'd like to? We can start, Jacob?
Sure.
Okay. Well, I'll call our meeting to order this afternoon. My name is Tom Berger, and I'm conducting the Alaska Native Review Commission. And I'm going around the state to every region to see what people think, what they've got to say about the land claim settlement, about ANCSA, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, passed back in 1971. And my job is to find out from people like yourselves, living in villages and towns all over Alaska, how the land claim settlement has worked out, how the corporations are doing, what problems they've got, and to ask you what you think about 1991. Most of you, I'm sure, are shareholders in your local village corporation here in Accutan, and no doubt hold shares as well in the regional corporation, the Aleut Regional Corporation. And after 1991, you can sell your shares, and if enough people sell their shares, then outsiders can take over your corporations and take over your land. And so you'll have to decide whether it's more important to you to be able to sell your shares and get some money for them, or whether you want to make sure that your corporations remain in the hands of the Aleut people and don't fall into the hands of outsiders. Then there's the question of taxation of land. In the years after 1991, the land the Native corporations hold can be taxed, and that's something people are concerned about, because if the land doesn't produce any income, then it might be hard to pay a tax on it if one were imposed. And wherever we've gone, people have asked about the children born since 1971. They feel that their children should have received shares, that their children should be entitled to be enrolled as shareholders in the corporations. And I want to know how you feel about that, too. And then there's the question of Native sovereignty or Native self-government. And I'd be interested in hearing what you've got to say about that. So please feel free to say your piece. I am not here as a representative of the federal government or the state government. I was asked to come here by the Inuit Circumpolar Conference, which is an international organization of Eskimos from Alaska, Canada, and Greenland, and the World Council of Indigenous People, which is an international organization of Indian people, is also sponsoring this commission. When I finish traveling around the state, and I'm going to keep going from one village to another until the end of the year, after I've finished, I'm going to write a report, and that report will be based on what you tell me at these meetings. And that's why Jim Sykes, this gentleman with all the sound equipment, is here, so that whatever you say today can be taken down and typed up, and it'll be the basis for my report about ANCSA, about the land claims, about what you think about the land claims. And I'll make my recommendations based on what you tell me. My report will be made public in the summer of 1985, and I'll send copies to you, so you will know what I have recommended, and I hope that what I have to say will help to resolve some of these questions that have come up. Well, today I hope you'll feel free to ask any questions or say anything that you want, and we'll be staying here this afternoon, and we'll have a meeting again this evening, and we're at your disposal. I should say this lady who's traveling with me is my wife, and this lady here is Mary Kenswick, who is working for our commission, and you know Mr. and Mrs. Gasta from Unalaska, who are with us as well. Well, we can begin, and once Mark gives up this chair, maybe you'd just come and speak here so you can speak into the microphone and it can go out over the tape and we can get a good record of what you say. Having said that, I think we can begin, we're here now to listen to what you have to say and to answer any questions you may have. So the gentlemen that we can expect to go first are in the front row, I think. Sure.
Excuse me, Mark.
Maybe you just state your name for the record.
Okay, my name is Jacob Stepton. What I want to talk about, start off with, was the in 1971, the Sherrills born after 1971, I feel that they shouldn't be excluded from our corporation as a shareholder. The reason I'm saying this is that if they were included in our corporation as shareholders, we would have had selected more land that is valuable to us. The way it is set up now, we weren't able to select the lands that we originally came from, which has been excluded from our land selection. These lands include the lands that are excluded are the islands of Tigala, Avetanik, and the northeast end of Akun Island. Those are the places that the people from around here originally came from, and settled here in Act 10 in 1878. If we had these shareholders in our corporation, well, the way it's set up now, they determine the land selection by the number of shareholders enrolled. Yeah, I feel that we should have selected the whole island of Yucatan instead of just parts of it to make up our selection. at the other islands like Avatanik, Tegalda, Akuna, northeast end of Akuna Island. We have old villages there. There are campsites, and they're used for subsistence use. And this island here, which has potential for geothermal and other uses. They used to chop fox on those islands, the Avatanik Island and Tegal Island, where a lot of the people came from. Right now, we don't have no say-so to these islands because they were excluded from our selection. And I was just thinking, what happens if the oil industry moves in on one of the islands? We won't have no say-so about these islands because they're not in our land selection. Although that might happen, but I just got to think of the future generation. How will they cope with the oil industries in one of the islands? Or, and how will it disturb our subsistence way of life in those areas? That was just on why I brought up 1971 was they should have the have them as shareholders to our corporation.
They should be or they shouldn't be?
They should be, the ones that were born after 1971. I think, you know, I just stated why. If we had they were here with us as shareholders, we would have more land selection. And I also think 1991 is too early for it. Like, it's only like 7 years from now, and then I'm not sure how many corporations are prepared for this, and I don't know what will it take to to like extend it another 10 years to be more well prepared for 1991. Or yes, it's yeah.
You're the mayor of the city here at Akutan.
Yes, I am.
And you're a shareholder in the local village corporation and a shareholder in Aleut Regional Corporation.
Yes. The way, the other thing I like to talk about here would be like the regional corporation has a right to subsurface rights. I would like to know how they determine subsurface rights. Is it because they found the gravel only about 2 inches down or further? They call it subsurface rights. I don't know how they determine this. But the city has plans on building a small boat harbor here, and it's going to be rock, made out of rock. And in order for us to get to use that rock, it will cost us or the state money to use that rock. The regional corporation will get the most part of that money from the rock, and our corporation won't hardly get anything at all. And I feel that the village corporations should have the right to subsurface rights. We are a profit-making corporation. I think that is one way for a profit corporation to make money, is through the sand and gravel. And if it's not going to be that the village corporation does not receive the right to subsurface, I would think it's going to take them to go on top of our surface for them to get to their source of the material that they'd like to get to. How we determine, we just charge them just as much for them to tear up our ground to get to their source of material? As much as they charge for their gravel that they want to sell. Now, alienation in shares. I feel that the village corporations should have the first right of refusal of any shares on alienation of shares. That way that would be kept within the corporation and would still be a native-owned corporation, and we'd not lose our, like, our culture, our heritage, our... our subsistence way of life. Subsistence. It's our way of life out here in the Aleutians. We live off the sea. When I talk about subsistence, I'm talking about the seals we hunt, the fish we catch for drying, smoking, and salting, the ducks we hunt, the sea urchins we pick, which are almost extinct because of the vast increase of sea otter around our areas, and the clams we dig. This is our subsistent way of living out here in the chain, out here in Actan. And we would not want to see this changed. Although I don't think it will, it'll always be, but... Oops. And I was wondering why they looked, took the year 1991 to be the year for all the issues that are being brought up on taxation and alienation of shares. Like I was saying, I think 1991 is too soon. It's only 7 years from now. And a lot of our shareholders here, which are going to school, will still have to do a lot of studying on this. To know the ANSCA Act is pretty hard, even for me. I just understand it briefly. Like on the ANSCA 14C3, the Act requires each village corporation put aside 1,200 acres of land for municipal governments. Will, like, you know, these lands be taxed by the corporation after, during or after 1991? I don't think that should be done at all. I was wondering why taxation was one of the issues of 1991. Is it because the corporation have to survive? Oh, Mr. Berger, that's all I've got to see on my...
Yeah. Maybe I could ask you a couple of questions, Mr. Stepkin. You said that the people here in this village earn their living, are engaged in subsistence. And you mentioned seals and fish and ducks and but there's commercial fishing here too.
Right? Yes, there is.
And that's the biggest money earner for people, I take it.
Yes.
But there's subsistence fishing as well. Is that what you were saying?
Yes, we do. We do our own subsistence fishing. Yes. Yeah.
How many people approximately live in this village?
Right now?
Yeah.
65.
Well, you asked. Oh, you mentioned the 1,280 acres that the village is supposed to turn over to the city government.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't quite understand your point about that. You said
that was like, yeah.
You said, me. Will that be taxed? I didn't.
Yeah, well, like the corporations turn this land over.
Yeah.
And in 1991, this taxation comes up. They'll be charging the city on the land. That's all public use land. Will that be taxed?
No, the 1,280 acres wouldn't be taxed.
But the others.
If the city,
the other shareholders' land would be.
Yeah. If has the 1,280 acres been conveyed to the city yet?
No, not yet. We haven't been we're still working on, you know, it's taking us time to plan where we want things put at this time.
Yeah. Well, you asked why did they choose the year 1991. The idea was when Congress passed this law back in 1971 that they were setting up these corporations and Alaska Native people were to become shareholders and investors and business people. And they said, ordinarily if you have shares in a company, you can sell them, you know, and companies try to take over other companies through buying up shares. And ordinarily if you have land, it can be taxed. So they said, well, we'll give you 20 years to get these corporations running well and for people to develop the property so it can pay taxes. And after that, these corporations have to become like any other corporation. Shares can be bought by anybody if they can find a shareholder willing to sell his shares. And the land can be taxed just like any other land. And they wanted to make sure there was nothing special, nothing different about Native corporations and Native land. That's really what they had in mind. Now, wherever I've gone, Native people say, well, that's not what we had in mind. We thought this was to settle our land claim, to make sure we could keep our land. A lot of places I've been, people say, we use this land for subsistence, and we want to make sure we keep it. And if it's used for subsistence, you can't really pay taxes on it because it doesn't earn any income. So they're concerned about that. Now, for purposes of taxation, the 20 years starts to run after you receive your land. So it's sometime after 1991. It's not right after 1991. But that's what they had in mind, and I've been asked to come around and see what all of you think about the way it's turned out, what you thought it was going to be when it started out in 1971, how it's turned out, and where you want to see it go now, what you want to do now. So,
well, I think, well, the way it is now, I don't see any problems with it. It's just the issue of 1991 is, you know, it's been talked about so many times, you know, and it seemed like it's going to change our whole, you know, might change our whole lifestyle.
Well, you think that that if you can keep the land and you don't have to pay taxes on it and you don't lose control of the corporations, that you think it's worked out pretty well?
Yes, I think so. I got no further comments.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Yes, my name is Daryl Pelkey. I'd like to get back to the people, the kids that were born after 1971.
You're the president of the...
Yes, I am.
Village Corporation.
Actan Corporation, yes. And there was a question brought up yesterday that unless they receive shares, they would technically be trespassing on their own lands, so to speak, them being native born. And I think that was a big issue. Another one on the same issue was if there was no more land selection and they were giving shares, then that would decrease the value of the shares to the people that have already been given shares. And yesterday it was kind of a general comment that it was a real negative comment. They didn't want that if that was going to be the case.
Yesterday,
we had a meeting to kind of familiarize people before you came on
right.
what you would be discussing.
Okay. And they felt that if giving shares to the children born since 1971 would decrease the value of the shares that people have now, then they didn't want any more shares to be issued. Is that the point?
That was the point. Another part of this was our land selection, like Jacob Stepton had mentioned, was that Avidtanik and Tegalda, the land that the people from around here came from, they were denied that land, and I was wondering how that would affect us in 1991 when someone else receives title to that land. If we're denied it completely, would we be trespassing on lands that we had subsistence hunted and fished and lived in the past? Okay. Another question I have is, in 1991, it was in one of your articles that I had read. It was about taxation, and what if the fisherman and the shareholder who is a commercial fisherman, which affects practically everyone in this village, was in tax trouble and owed some land or owed some money to the government because fishing hasn't been that good lately. The way it stands now, if it's still the same situation in 1991, then the fishermen that own shares and would own land in the corporation would stand a good chance of losing it. That was something else that I don't think anyone around here understood. Okay. And on the Jacob had covered this pretty much. I just like to say I agree with him on the alienation of the stocks to outsiders so we can keep control of our own corporation. And that was about all that I had. Jake had covered about half of what I was going to discuss, so that was all I had.
How many shareholders are there in the Village Corporation?
I believe there's the people that are deceased, the ones that have gotten shares. I think it's around 153. A lot of those shares are still in litigation, I guess.
Well, how many shareholders were there when you started out in 71? Any idea?
We were trying to determine that yesterday at the 106.
Okay. And you've got 153 approximately now.
Yes.
About how many live here in Accutan and how many live outside in Anchorage or Seattle or places like that?
Majority does.
Yeah, the majority live here in Accutan. Jacob stated the population of the people to be about 65. And I would say another 40 probably live within the state, spread around Alaska, and the rest live outside Washington, California.
A majority of shareholders live outside the village then, or do I not?
Outside of the village, yes.
What has the village corporation been doing? What's its business? What's it?
The only business that we have right now is our land leases with the processing companies in the bay, and the store, the only store that's in the village.
The corporation runs the store?
Yes, we do. And this building, the hotel service that we run, and that is about it for the Actan Corporation. We've got a lot of things that we're still talking about, business venture with a larger corporation, a neighboring corporation, but we're still talking about that yet.
Does the village corporation have any employees?
Yes, myself and another full-time employee would be our accountant, bookkeeper, and that is it now. Yeah. Oh, we have the store clerk and a janitor, which takes care of the building here, and it's that is just part time.
And the I see. So, has the corporation been able to pay any dividends to its shareholders?
Not that I know about since 1980 or 81, somewhere around there. I'm new to the corporation myself. I just was elected in the job last year, November of 83. So I'm learning myself.
Yeah. Well, maybe I could deal with some of the questions that you raised, Mr. Pelkey. One of the things that people should understand under this land claim settlement is that it isn't the people that own the land, it's the corporations that own the land. If you're out on land belonging to the village corporation, the corporation could tell you that you're trespassing, even if you're a shareholder, because it's... suppose you were a shareholder in General Motors. That doesn't mean you can walk into their plant in Detroit just because you're a shareholder. It belongs to the corporation. I know this sounds peculiar, but that's the way it is. But of course, if your village corporation allows people to use the land, shareholders to use the land, well, that's fine. If people in this village after 1991 sold their shares and some outside corporation took over the control of the corporation and the land, they might very well say nobody can use this land. Now, you asked about the business of issuing shares to the children who don't have shares. Well, you're quite right. If shares are issued, right now you've got 153 shareholders. Let's suppose there's 50 children in the village under who were born since 1971, you issue 50 more shares, or if you issue shares to 50 more people, then that decreases the value of the shares that you have and that that everybody else has. I mean, you dilute the shares. You dilute the value of the existing shares. So you should understand that if you're going to issue shares to the children, you're going to dilute the value of your own shares. No question about that. That's one thing that makes it difficult to do, because the law is that the corporation couldn't issue shares to the children unless the children paid for them. That would increase the corporation's assets, and thus everybody, the value of everybody's shares would increase. But the children can't pay for them. So you've got a dilemma there, and that's one of the legal hurdles that would have to be overcome if you wanted to issue shares to the children. Now, you say that people have expressed the view that they don't think the children should receive shares if that will dilute the value of existing shares. If there's not to be any cash paid for the shares or no new land selections made available, clearly those shares would be diluted. You asked about first the right of first refusal, or the mayor did. Suppose after 1991 somebody who has shares in the local village corporation wants to sell them, and other people say, no, don't sell your shares. We don't want anybody from outside holding shares. We don't want some guy from Seattle buying in. We don't want Exxon to buy up the shares in our village and own our land. So everybody says, don't sell your shares. But suppose it's a fisherman who's had a tough time, and his boat is burned up, and he wants a new boat, and he needs the money to buy one, and somebody comes along and says, here's a big pile of money for your shares. Well, right now, your corporation could pass a resolution that would require him to give you the right of first refusal. But that means you'd have to come up with the money. You'd have to pay him. And I don't know how much money your corporation has got, but if they went around this village and maybe got 10 people to sell their shares, or even more, or if they approached some of your shareholders who live in Anchorage or Seattle, and you might not even have much to do about that, then you can say that you get the right, the village corporation gets the right to buy them back, but that means you have to pay their fair market value. And if your corporation doesn't have the money, then the shareholder can go ahead and sell them to wherever they're going to pay the best price. So that's, the mayor said, well, why can't we buy them back? You can do that now if you want. You can pass a resolution that says in 1991 your shareholders have to give you the right of first refusal before they sell their shares. But that means you have to have the money to buy them in your treasury, in the bank account of the corporation. So that's a little bit of a problem you might think about. The business of making further land selections, most villages I've been to, people have agreed with what the mayor said, that is, that the children should receive shares. This is the first time the suggestion has been made that when the children receive their shares, there should be further land selections made so that the value of existing shares is not diluted, and that's an interesting idea. It might be very, very hard, though, to win the right to make any further land selections. After Anilka in 1980, the state and the federal government have pretty well divided it up.
Getting back to one of the questions that you answered for me before on the shares. It was on the resolution you mentioned about passing a resolution. There was another question I was going to bring up about that, and I was reading something about some corporation had given away a large amount of land, and it was just the corporation that knew about it, and not the people. I was wondering, to prevent something like that, can we pass a resolution before 1991 that would protect us against something like that in the future? Like having a public vote of shareholders rather than just the board members on something so large as that.
I've never heard of that. Normally the board of directors has to approve a sale of land or transfer of land. I don't know of any corporation that requires a vote of its shareholders to authorize the sale of land, but that could be written into the regulations governing your corporation if you wanted to do that. But normally you elect the board of directors, and they're people you have confidence in, so you don't expect them to go and sell all the land when the shareholders aren't looking. That would be quite a surprise, I guess.
Answers that one. That was about all I had.
Right. Well, thanks very much.
Thank you.